With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 421, the box office report for the week ending October 21st.
I was just going to bust in and be like, Halloween! No. Because that's what we're doing. I'm super excited.
Well, don't blow your wad, not yet.
Yeah. Think about baseball.
Yeah. Keep Arthur naked on a cold day.
Yeah, keep it. Well, that might work for you.
I don't know.
I don't judge you. Out loud.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Eating his Golden Girls Funko cereal over
Is
there.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was totally fake.
Oh, that's real.
Oh.
They're now selling cereal.
And they're all blue. One, can you imagine what that does to your poop?
Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And two, I think that makes total sense that cereal for the Golden Girls looks like a giant bowl of Viagra.
That's what you're gonna, I don't know, Blanche.
Okay.
Yeah. Betty White.
I just meant from
Betty White still.
Yeah, Betty White still.
I just meant from an age standpoint.
That's fair.
Like, you know.
I get it.
Like at that point, it's not about needing help. It's about you're old.
You need help.
You've got medical conditions working against you.
That's true. Yeah. Don't take it if you know you have an erection for over 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to the doctor with that.
I'm going to a party.
Yeah, right.
I'm
guess what, baby?
I'm going to Adult Friend Finder. That's where I'm going.
I got all the time in the world.
Yeah.
I can't believe Betty White's like 97.
Still kicking it.
She's really approaching 100 years
old.
Are
they all dead except for her?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's the only one.
When did...
Because I was wondering about that, but I'm like, yeah, she's 97. Like, it's not like she's, you know, 80 or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
so Rue McClanahan died about 4 years ago.
Which one was that?
That's Blanche.
That's Blanche.
And then Bea Arthur's, I think, has been dead for about 10 years. And ironically, the first one to die was Estelle Getty,
right,
who plays Blanche's, or plays Bea Arthur's mother.
Yeah, Mona, but, right?
Was that her name?
I think so.
Yeah,
or maybe that's the mom from Who's the Boss.
I think that's the mom from Who's the Boss. But Estelle Getty was... the youngest cast member.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was the youngest cast member. They just made her up to look like an old lady.
That's funny.
Or an older lady.
Was she in Stop My Mom Will Shoot? Is that her? Stallone?
I think it might have been.
Okay.
I've never seen it, but
that's
think
probably for the best.
Yeah.
That was Stallone being like, I don't want to do action movies no more.
Yeah. Like, did Rhinestone teach you nothing, sir? Rhinestone.
Rhinestone. That's a thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally a thing.
Yep. The only reason I know is because
Stallone being a country singer.
Yeah. There it is. Look at that Stallone.
Stop, my mom will shoot.
Look at that sly looking slick.
Estelle Getty. Yeah. She's there with her revolver, her dirty hairy revolver.
That's right. That's right. It's like he did do that. He went on that weird tear where he was just like, I got to do comedies that are kind of action.
Well, it was
movies.
Working for Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
You know,
he had
Kindergarten Cop and Twins.
Yeah. And so then Stallone did that and he did Oscar.
Yeah,
he did, which I like Oscar. It's Oscar's a fun John Landis movie.
But now Stallone's 97 and doing action movies again.
Kind of doing action movies. It's weird. Like they just posted that picture of him doing Rambo, and I didn't even realize they were making another Rambo.
Oh, yeah. They've been kicking that around for a little bit.
If you can make one as good as that last one,
sign me up. I liked it.
I was surprised. That last one was awesome. Yeah. I went and I looked at it, and it's like, I think it's like at 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. I didn't realize other people didn't, because everyone I ever talked to was like, that was awesome.
When he turns that 50 caliber gun and liquefies that dude. Yeah. Yeah,
I'll never forget. It was just crazy seeing him do that, and especially at his age, and like it really worked.
Is that pre Expendables or post Expendables?
That was pre.
Is it?
I'm almost
in the first one.
Positive.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah, look it up. But
because
I'm pretty
like
sure
that was the resurgence of action star Stallone.
Yeah. Did they do like Rocky VI,
Rocky Balboa,
and then they did the Rambo one?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Rambo was 2008.
And then Rocky VI was probably 2006 or 2007.
Let's see here. I'm pulling up Stallone's filmography here. Known for Rocky. That's surprising.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, good to.
We don't. Well, I would think of him as Lords of Flatbush.
Wow.
What is that? I don't even know what Lords of Flatbush is.
That's the porn that he did, wasn't it?
No, Lords of Flatbush was like it wasn't
flat. This was the 70s, Joe. Yeah, there's nothing flat about it.
It was permed.
It was it was about these group of like this gang of greasers in the 50s.
Oh.
And it's like him, and it's famous because it's, I mean, I think it's actually a fairly decent film, and it kind of, I think, is what gave him just enough juice to get Rocky made.
But
also, also in that movie, playing a 50s era greaser was Henry Winkler pre-Happy Days.
Ah. Yeah. He didn't get paid for, I mean, he's gotten paid for Rocky since then, but initially, they were just like, no.
Well, because they wanted the script. He wrote the script.
Right.
And they wanted the script, but they didn't want him.
They wanted Burt Reynolds
They wanted Burt Reynolds for everything at that
Superman.
Point in time. They wanted
Han Solo.
Yeah, they wanted him for Han Solo. That was just, you know, the name. Everybody's right. Like, what about Burt Reynolds? But yeah, they wanted somebody, a name, to make the movie because they loved the script. And
I was like, nope.
And they went to him and they were basically like, you know, I'm making up numbers, but it was basically
like 50 grand or something.
It was basically like, we'll give you like $200,000 for your script, or you can star in it and we'll give you like $1.50.
He was like, I'll take the dollar.
And he was like, I'll take the $1.50.
As long as he could get his dog back that he had to sell.
That's
all he wanted. And he did.
And he did.
Yeah. He got it back.
Thanks,
I think,
Adrian.
Didn't the guy want like $10,000 or something?
Yeah.
I feel like the guy.
Yeah. He jacked
pulled
the
a really jerk move to get his pet back. Like,
yeah.
But Rocky Balboa was 2006, but Rambo was 2008, 2 years before The Expendables.
Okay.
So Rambo did kickstart the, I can do action.
Well, I think I can get away with this.
Yeah, I think Rocky was the one where he's just like, I might still have a little bit left.
But Rocky, Rambo was him
machine-gunning
people, and then he's like, okay, The Expendables.
Yeah.
All my friends can come do this with me.
Well,
you know?
It's easier to believe an old guy can shoot a gun than it is for an old guy to box.
That's true, especially when he gets in there like with like the heavyweight champ.
Yeah,
it was like 20 something.
At some point, no matter how good you are, it's just physically like you're.
That's why I'm really glad in Creed they were just like, no.
No Dolph Lundgren boxing.
I want in Creed 2. I want like
Dolph Lundgren to kill Rocky?
No.
A little street fight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Between Dolph and
Five
Ryan.
Is awful.
Except for that last scene.
But the street fight at the end is pretty awesome.
Touch me, I'll suit.
Yeah.
It's just at some
that
point.
That was not.
I know. We've discussed this thoroughly.
This
thank
has
you.
Been thoroughly.
that's that thing in the comic
vetted.
Books where you put an asterisk at the bottom. Go back to episode.
So, but at some point, Stallone is going to not be able to do these movies anymore. And it's like, well, what if he just had Drago kill Rocky just like he killed Apollo?
Kill
like.
Rocky.
Well, I mean, he's going to, if they want to keep making these movies, eventually.
Well, I mean, he's just the coach at this point. I mean, those are Michael B. Jordan's movies. He's just there as like.
But
the,
when he's just gone, I'm saying, how is he going to be? I mean, at some point he cannot do it or
that's
will
true.
Not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I
wouldn't put it past them doing it because it's a good bookend.
Yeah.
But I also think that like if they were going to do that, I think like the third Creed movie was the place would be the place to do it.
Yeah, probably. He has
I
to
think
fight
two's
Clubber,
a little,
Clubber Lang's
well,
kid in three.
I feel like Michael B. Jordan would need like two of these under his belt, no pun intended.
That's what they did. I mean, they did that with Creed, with Apollo.
Yeah.
I mean, Apollo didn't die until 4.
Yeah. But even then, that's different because it's
franchise.
Rocky's franchise.
Yeah, that's true. And then Mickey died in.
Mickey died.
Two?
In.
Three.
Mickey died in 3.
Yeah.
He died at the beginning of 3.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm interested to see it, but it's not.
Oh, bring it on. Oh wait, Rocky or
well, the one I haven't been able to see yet, Creed 2.
Creed 2, yes. or Rambo.
Yeah, it's just without with a different director. I'm just wondering, you know.
Marvel snatched that dude up.
Yeah.
He was just like, how much do you want? Done.
Because that was Ryan Coogler, right?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And so it's like, you know, without him returning, I mean, it's luckily it's Michael B. Jordan. But
did Stallone write Creed?
Or did not that I did know.
I don't think
I did
so.
Write it.
Yeah, not that I know of. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see. If this one works, then I think, you know, without Coogler, if this one works, then I think they can do whatever they want, Stallone aside. I mean, that character in those movies, I agree. But it's like, yeah, give it, let's see if the sequel without Coogler, who is a great director, obviously, see if it holds
driving
together.
Driving force behind that first one.
I'm surprised Stallone isn't directing it.
Honestly, you know.
What's the last thing he directed?
Rocky Balboa. I think that is.
Did he direct that?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm gonna look up his directing now because
he didn't
geez.
Do the Expendables. That was Simon West.
So let's see. He has 9 directing credits. The Expendables 2010.
Okay.
Rambo 2008, and then Rocky Balboa. He did.
Yeah.
Rocky 4. Oh, no wonder it's so good.
That's right.
Hearts well, he did Rocky. Well, he did Rocky 2.
He did Rocky 2 and 3. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So John G. Appleton just did 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that
they weren't going to let him write, direct, and star.
I didn't realize
first
that
movie.
He just only. But I knew he did a couple. But geez, I didn't realize that he did.
That was
two,
just, that
three,
and don't
four.
Forget he directed Staying Alive, the Saturday Night Fever
sequel. Yes, that's right.
Which is just awful.
Is Travolta in that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Travolta looking like Rambo.
Yeah, he's even got a headband.
Yeah, right.
We're looking at on IMDb. The main picture for Staying Alive is Travolta looking just like Rambo.
Looks like
what
he's
a
in
weird.
The jungle.
Stallone's like, now hold on. Yeah. This will work.
Yeah. It worked for me before. You know, it's Stallone in 83. So he was like
coked out of his mind.
He's coked out of his mind, and he's like, all this dancing stuff is kind of for the queers. You need a headband.
And go to the jungle.
Yeah.
It's fun. I just read an article about, I guess, the director of Street Fighter was talking about how much cocaine Van Damme was doing on set.
What?
It was like,
I didn't read this.
$10,000 cocaine habit. When he was,
I had no idea. Yeah, first of all, I never even heard about Jean-Claude Van Damme doing drugs.
Oh my God.
Really?
Yes.
I never heard about that. Wow.
He, like, towards the end there, you could. Yeah.
Well, you know, Stallone on the set, when he was coming back from filming the last Rambo movie, he got arrested for HGH.
Yes. And if you look at Rambo, you look at him,
which,
you're like,
no.
Yeah, I totally believe.
Right. Yeah, no, he was, he was still smuggling that from Canada or somewhere.
Even
he was
his
trying
wife
to
was like, you need to stop.
Well, yeah,
this
that's,
is unnatural.
When that happened, like, and he was still making these expendable movies, I'm like, he's getting older. Like, that stuff takes a toll on your body. Like, yeah you get buff, but like most of those people, think about the wrestlers, like you die young because your body's just pushing itself. And like, I'm amazed, honestly, that Stallone is still alive just with how much at an older age stuff.
Even
he's,
he posts like workout videos every
once he's
in a
his
while.
Gym.
I
like when
Lord.
He did the push-up challenge and he could do like 7 half push-ups. I mean, it was for a good cause, sorry, not turning around, but he's like you know, I'm doing the push-up challenge.
I think
and he's
his,
like, he's like, all right, that was, I think that was like a Ken didn't count him or whatever. And I'm like, you did like 7 and you're
I
supposed
did,
to do 20.
I did them so fast you didn't even see it.
Yeah.
It's still 8 more than I can do.
7?
Yeah. 7 is 8 more
I will
than
say,
I can
like,
do.
Your muscles can look how they want to look, but his joints at this
clearly,
point.
Clearly, yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
I'm sure the half push-up is as far as he could go without his elbows and shoulders snapping.
Yeah. It was just like, they're very quick and, you know, very like, I'm not going to go. Like, a lot of people do the not all the way down, but his were like, like, they were, you know.
It's like, it's like the Muhammad Ali thing where the kid's like, you know, put your hand up. And he's like, did you feel it? And, you know, Ali doesn't move.
Right.
He's like, I move so fast you didn't even see it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
So last, connecting the Street Fighter thing, since you mentioned that, I read an article talking about Raul Julia.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he was sick and dying.
Very
that was his
sick.
Last movie.
Yeah.
He decided to do that because he's like, it's a video game movie and kids will watch it. Like, that's super cool that he was dying of cancer.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to take this Street Fighter role, you know, as my last role because, like, kids will really enjoy it.
I'm going to slide across the floor like a goober.
Yeah. I think
that's how Orson Welles went out.
That's true. Yeah, sliding across the floor.
No, in a kid's movie.
Oh, it is?
What was that?
The Transformers,
he was
right?
A voice
that was
in
his last?
I'm pretty sure that was his last.
Okay.
I think that was his last film, like, role, and I think his last on-screen appearance, I think, was the Muppet movie.
Gotcha.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I know that he was.
He's
Unicron,
the guy who signs the big Hollywood contract.
Yeah, that's right. Like 2 seconds. They go to his office and he's a real quick appearance.
He was like, I got to go to sleep.
And that movie was all cameos. Like
it's
great.
Wonderful.
You get Steve Martin, Bob Hope.
You get everybody.
Mel Brooks.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Mel Brooks is in that, isn't
he?
Apparently there was something released in 1987 called Someone to Love, and he's on the cover of it. And Transformers is 86. So I don't know.
I've never
so
even heard of that movie.
That might be a reason.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but I knew it was late, and I just saw Transformers in theaters, which was really cool. I brought Ryan. I brought Ryan to see it, and I mean, I love that movie.
Even though they say the S word, you took your kid to that filth.
Unbelievable.
What's
Kevin?
The S word?
They say in the Transformers cartoon. Yeah. That was such a big deal.
It was a huge deal.
To see a cartoon where they said that.
Yeah.
I think Spike yells it when like the Decepticons are coming or something. I was surprised too because I just didn't remember it. I'm like, oh, that was weird. Yeah,
that's in the new cut. I remember going like my first Comic Con. I say Comic Con, but it was like in a VFW hall.
Yeah.
And I bought it.
Your first comics convention is what you're saying.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Before they went big time.
Exactly. And I bought a VHS copy of the unrated Transformers movie, and that's where we're just like,
I'm sure that was officially licensed too.
Oh, totally,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That vendor got all the royalties paid and everything.
Yeah.
Okay,
you've been to old. Have you ever been to those old shows where it's just
dude,
like,
I've been to the new ones, and every time I scratch my head and go, how do they give this person a booth? Like, I mean, there's no way.
I remember going to the old ones, and like they would sell anything, and there was a guy had VHS dubs of Tracy Lord's films, and not the legal ones.
Nope.
And I'm like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, this is it's child porn. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why you can't find them.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Because she lied.
Yes.
About her age.
That's why now they X-ray everyone's wrist before they let them make an adult film.
Just gotta make sure.
Yeah.
Can't, you know.
What?
What? No, they don't do that?
I didn't get that.
Well, your wrists aren't fully formed, and so it's a way to tell how old you are. Like if you're 15 and you're saying you're 18 or 19, like if they x-ray your wrist, it'll look different.
Wasn't she 16?
Yeah, I think she started when she was 16,
maybe 15.
Maybe 15, and she made a ton. And I think there's only one or two that she made after the age of 18.
Yeah, there are not many that are out
there. This is super disturbing, so we should introduce ourselves.
In all fairness, it's not like she was pushed into the industry. Like she went on her own and lied.
Oh yeah, I just thought just on paper. I'm just like, this is not.
I'm sure those guys are like, I'm not going to get charged, am I? I thought she was 18. Oh no.
Again,
it's the 70s, and they're just like, yeah, whatever.
It's the Rob Lowe defense.
Yeah, right.
I was in a bar. I assume she was 21.
I
think
had
that's
a case just like that.
Yeah,
and the judge was just like, yeah, that sucks. Here's your jail sentence.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't have a choice. Like, yeah. I mean, the guy pled guilty. The guy didn't have it. Like, it's the law. He pled guilty to a certain crime that didn't give him the option of probation.
Right.
And just like,
I don't know. We may have even talked about this before, which is weird on this show. And maybe it was maybe it was around this subject. But like, I don't get it. Like, if someone has a fake ID, let's say, or if the girl lies and says I'm 18, you know, and let's say she's a year or two, like it's close, and it's like, okay, well, if she says it.
I think some of it's because the court doesn't want to get bogged down into this he said, she said. You know what I mean? That it's just like.
Really, Brock Turner?
Here's what?
I mean, that's the thing where it's just like, I don't want to ruin this kid's life.
No, I mean, I was going the other way. Saying like, we're not going to get caught up in this. But she lied about her age. No, she didn't lie about her age. They can prove is she's not 18 and you did it.
Right.
So. You're in trouble for
that's,
it.
Yeah, like in that case, like obviously, like the Brock Turner, that guy's trash. Like obviously, all that stuff's terrible. I just
is
mean
that the dumpster guy,
the guy that outside, like she was drunk. I
Passed
think so.
Out,
yeah,
like,
behind
like,
a dumpster.
Yes.
The dumpster guy.
They
yes.
didn't want to ruin his life.
Yeah,
so they,
and
yeah,
now
yeah,
they're
ridiculous.
Well. Now I think that judge got kicked off the bench. That gave
I
him,
bet. In this day and age, you can't.
And then they're reopening that case.
Oh,
I believe that's what I. Yeah,
yeah. That's in this
although I read a very interesting article about that and. Saying how because that judge it was a profile of the lady who kind of spearheaded getting that judge going after that judge and they were interviewing a lot of other people in the court system and they're like they give you pretty strict guidelines that you're supposed to follow and for charges
they do
and like that's like all the other judges were like that's the same it's scary because they're like it's the same sentence I would have gave like on paper that's what they tell us to do.
You can, I mean, obviously, the cop talk. there are ranges of punishment depending on the crime. Like, and then,
and since he didn't have any previous criminal history, like, you're not
they do what they would call like a pre-sentence investigation. I don't think they call it that anymore. That's what it used to be called. And they would have interviewed him, and they would assess his risk to reoffend, and then that person would say, like, if, you know, given the information that we have, this is what we would recommend the sentence be.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, the judge will follow that recommendation unless something else pops up at the sentencing.
Yeah.
And he's a kid that screwed up, and he's ruined his life, and he ruined that girl's life.
Yeah.
But that's the, you know, if he has no history, his assessment would be very low risk.
Right.
Unfortunately.
It's a
garbage system.
That's one of those things where it's like, and I think times are changing, but it's like, yeah, those may be the guidelines, but those might be some really crappy guidelines.
Oh,
like,
no, absolutely.
But then if he goes outside of those guidelines, he can get in trouble.
Yep.
Change time to change the guidelines.
That's
right,
just a recommendation.
Yeah.
You're like, the state will have, this is what we think they should get. The defense will come with what they think he should get. The PSI will say that.
Yeah, I was listening to Serial, and they were talking about all the guidelines, and they're like, but they can go outside of them.
Sure.
But a lot of times it's
just a recommendation.
Yeah.
They can. The new season of Serial has been so much better than the last season.
It's surprisingly better.
Real quick podcast talk. So I had never listened to Serial until.
Did you listen to the first season?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I had never listened to Serial until a couple months ago. And you guys always talk about it, how it's so good. Like, I literally just finished the first season maybe 2 months ago.
It was really good.
So it was excellent. And then I started listening to the second, and I'm like,
not good.
I'm like, what's this about? I'm like, wait a minute. I just didn't understand. I'm like, what are we debating here? Yeah. Or like, what? I'm like,
they're the one where the guy goes AWOL.
Yeah. I'm like, I really, it didn't seem like there was any evidence that he was trying to like go join anyone. I think he just was fed up. Like, I don't know. I was
that
like,
guy needed to like go join a cult. Like, that's what made the second season better.
I bailed after the second episode. I was so bored.
Really? Yep.
I was super bored. I don't care.
I finished it, and I thought it was interesting talking to the military people and his fellow. Like, it was really interesting insight into those guys' minds. And the people were like, yeah, I don't know. If we found him, we probably would have just killed him. Like, it's crazy because he went AWOL. And then for months, if not longer, made a bunch of people go like into enemy territory and risk their lives
to find him.
Horrible. These guys are already over in Iraq fighting this war, and now they have to find this guy that walked away.
He's making it more dangerous.
Yeah,
right?
I was like, and I get it, you know, and they're saying stuff with emotions or whatever, and most of them probably would not have killed him, but they all, like, everyone kind of said the same thing.
Or they would have turned a blind eye if someone else had.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there was a good, like, Serial knockoff. That was like the Black Tapes, which was like a supernatural version of Serial, where this gal was investigating the Strand Institute, and he had all of these, like, he would pay like $1 million if anybody could prove that the paranormal was real, and he would just constantly debunk stories. So he has like
the Amazing Randy,
just like the Amazing Randy. Yeah. But yeah, it was like, so she's like investigates. He has like all of these Black Tapes, and she would investigate each tape. But it was done in the mode of Serial. It got a little bit like I'm reading off of a page.
Yeah.
But it was it was good.
Yeah, true crime is like that's the hot thing in
good
in podcasting.
When you do it right and it's done well, it's good stuff.
I really
unless
like
you're investigating
Serial.
Michael Myers, then you're not doing it right.
Yeah. I like the format and who's the host of Serial?
Sarah
I can't think of her
something. God.
Yeah,
Sarah something.
But I really
Sarah Koenig. Yeah.
I really like her cadence and just the way she's very like her delivery
she's
is
deliberate.
Very, yeah, she's very
she's unemotional without being monotone.
Yes, exactly. It's not monotone, but it's very she's very like you know
like
clear
removed in a good way.
Yeah,
like
very clear in her delivery.
Yeah. She reminds me of Joe Friday.
Yeah,
it's just the facts, and we'll give you a little bit of inflection. Jill Friday. Yeah. We'll joke around with like your producer a little bit, and then we'll go like. But I think she's a very good
because when she gets into interviews and is talking to people, like she can really like she knows her stuff and she can really stick it to someone. Like I think it's in the interviews for the second one because she interviewed like a general or someone higher up on that military case.
Yeah,
for like 4 hours she talked to this guy or whatever.
But she would talk to Adnan. Tell she was like she wouldn't. Fall for his shtick.
Right.
Like she would put him on the spot. She's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is what you're saying. This is what we have proof of.
I felt like she thought he was innocent, but she also didn't necessarily think he was clean.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And that so guy clearly knows how to twist the truth to get what he wants. Yeah. Like, it's, I mean, he may be innocent or whatever.
We'll find out because I think they're reopening his case too.
Yeah. But it's like when you hear him talk and how he kind of changes his story, like he's a fast talker. He's someone that can make you believe and do it in a way where you believe him because of the way he.
There's too much shadiness going on
in
his story to not. Something was going on,
but that was a fascinating that serial season one was amazing, and I like her. And then also who I like who has a very similar cadence and delivery is Amy Nicholson. Have you listened to her?
No.
She does the show with Paul Scheer where they're going back and watching Top 100.
Okay, then
is it Unspooled?
Unspooled.
Yeah. So that's Amy Nicholson and Paul Scheer. That's really good. But she's also doing a Halloween series all about Halloween,
like the movies.
Yeah and she has
meant the holiday.
She has interviews with Carpenter and with a bunch of really high profile
Add it
people
to the list.
It's I'm just blanking out, but I think it's called like it's called Halloween something. Just look up Amy Nicholson.
Okay.
but she has a very similar cadence and delivery to where I'm like, oh, I liked her, and I'm like, wait a minute, is this Sarah Koenig? Like when I first discovered her, I'm like, no, okay, it's someone else. She's good. She writes for like a online publication. She's a film critic too.
Okay.
So I know the other big thing in podcasts now is fiction podcasts, and I'm just like, congratulations, you've reinvented old time radio.
Oh, okay, that's true. Yeah.
There's a Wolverine one that got like some awards.
Oh yeah, I remember reading about that. So.
Yeah, wasn't that an Earwolf?
Maybe.
I thought that was an Earwolf podcast. Yeah, there's a lot of those in like the Adventure Zone. There's a lot of fictional podcasts.
While we're talking about podcasts, one of the things I hate when a podcast does is when they go 25 minutes without introducing themselves. And so we have 5 seconds. Joe, go.
This is Joe.
Oh, me? This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. We started before the 25-minute mark, so it's
That's
okay.
That's true, yeah.
It's okay. Nah. Kevin tried to drag his feet and screw it up, but it doesn't matter because we started before the 25-minute mark.
I remember 10 minutes ago around Tracy Lord where I said, I think we better introduce ourselves, and somehow.
Oh, I just thought you wanted to meet Tracy Lord, you perv. So
you know what? I don't blame you.
Yeah. And she's like 70
well,
now.
She's,
so it's okay.
I mean, there would
she's
be
not,
no.
She's not Nina Hartley.
No, I know. She's probably, what, like 42, 43? Yeah. So
real quick question. Seriously, though. With the
I thought you were going to come at me and was like, who's Nina Hartley? Come on.
I don't know, but seriously. But with the advent of the internet, and like I had said this before, like I have no idea who Tracy Lord is. Like I had never heard of this whole thing, which is, it's just a crazy story. But are there porn stars now? Because with the internet, I mean, are there actually still?
I mean, I think if I say Sasha Grey,
but that sounds,
been, she's out. She doesn't do porn anymore, though.
Yeah, I don't know. It's different. I feel like when you had the Playboy centerfolds,
they're
a big thing, and then they would do their movies and whatever. But it's like nowadays, is there?
I don't know if there's like the crossover, like megastar.
Well, because it's like, you
like
know
Jenna
Jameson. Yeah, everyone knows.
But
her.
You got to go back to when people, they were still coming in those oversized VHS boxes.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
I mean, what? How do they package them? Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
think that there is like a mega crossover star.
Well, who's the name? I don't know.
Sasha Grey is the one. Is the really the
but
only one?
But you said
one.
She's gone.
Yeah, she's out.
So obviously there's more than one person too.
I mean,
it's like,
I think they're still out there, but I don't think that they're, I think in the same way music acts don't tend to get as big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it used to be that crossover thing where like everyone knew the name Jenna Jameson. It's like they somehow can elevate beyond and into like celebrity.
Yeah.
But
sure.
I'm thinking, it's been a long time. I have no idea who even would be the.
It was celebrity with a lowercase c.
Well, exactly. I mean, we're on Snooki level Kardashian, you know.
I don't know. I feel like at least Jenna Jameson wasn't. I don't know. If you compare Snooki to Jenna Jameson. And I feel like she played that celebrity part smarter.
Oh, well,
where,
no
like
one
she
debates.
Wasn't. She was
I
in
bet
the spotlight.
Snooki made more money.
I guarantee she did too. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But there's no debate. She's a trash person. But like, I just those reality stars, they had their minute. It's
those Kardashians.
Yeah,
they've had
them.
Their
I don't
more,
know
more. Than
well,
their
and
minutes.
I think we're the reality stars.
There's your porn star crossover. It's Kim Kardashian.
Well, I guess. I mean, that's what made her famous,
but she
wasn't really a porn star.
Most of those reality stars, I think, they make their money from their social media channels.
Yeah.
They can charge
and
somebody
like
$10,000
like
to put something
for
on
a
Instagram
post.
Or something.
Yeah. I was online the other day, and someone, I think, had retweeted something from Kim Kardashian, and it was like, check out this not perfume, you know, some stupid little sales thing from a store, online store. And I'm just like, yep, how much do you make it from 50, saying, check out this
50 grand right
and
there.
And you know
bam.
What? How many did they sell is my question. I guarantee when Kim Kardashian says something and her 90 million followers or whatever, I bet you it's probably like one out of 10 goes and clicks that link and I got to have it.
She'd be like, go buy Superman comics. And like, they sell none.
Yeah. It's my well, you got to know your presence. Demo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously. It's why we whore out for it every week. We have a review.
Hey.
How about that?
New Zero review.
Yes, we do. So
coming right at you.
So this is from Woo Woo 43621.
I love it.
Oh.
Woo Woo Woo.
Now wait a minute, hold on. Which show is this for?
It's for this one. I double checked.
A little inside baseball. Yeah. I edited that out, but there may have been a confusion on a previous episode.
Sorry.
He's reading the review, and we're just like, that's not for us.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, why is it talking about Peloton? So this one says, hate surprises, listen to real spoilers. Now this one is up and live. You can see this one. And I preface that because of how the review starts.
Oh no.
I love all these guys, but Tom is the best.
Oh, come on.
And Crystal.
You know what? You're gonna kick yourself in the butt here as I get deeper into this review. So he can always be counted on for really obscure movie, music, random facts. The conversations these stellar podcasters have is truly exceptional unless they start a tangent about wrestling.
Yeah! Suck it.
They recently did the math on how many listeners versus reviews they had and came up lacking in reviews. Sadly, I realized I was part of the problem. I hadn't done my due diligence in posting my review. My deepest apologies. I found this podcast through Kevin.
Oh.
Who was a special guest on Chat on TV's podcast.
Awesome.
For Game of Thrones.
Nice.
Excellent.
They are a great group as well. I immediately subscribed and have listened to all the archived episodes. Wait, that can't be true.
Sweet.
That's over 400 episodes.
That's awesome.
Are you bedridden? What's going on?
We don't want her to pull the review. Let's slow our roll here. Thank you very much for your dedication.
From a time standpoint.
Hey, what did you think of Joe's review of Man of Steel on episode 1?
Oh, man. We'll get into that on the next episode.
Maybe on the big episode 500, I can play some greatest hits.
Oh, like, God. If you listen nonstop, that's 17 and a half days.
That's more than,
of
half,
podcasting.
More than a, half a month.
Yeah, oh, that's
I mean,
a lot.
Good for you, buddy.
So
thank you.
So thank you. Anyway, I wait patiently each week for the box office report and the spoiled movie of the week. These guys are so much fun, and I find myself answering questions and talking to my car stereo as if we were just all chatting together. Listen to this podcast. Just do it. They are fabulous. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Woo woo.
Yes. Woo woo. Woo woo indeed. That's what we're going.
See,
we're saying woo woo in our heart.
There's a wrestling reference right there that I'm gonna that I could make, but I won't because of their
because we've already been talking for 30
yeah,
minutes.
True, yeah.
So also don't forget you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. We're You can join the League of Show Sharers, people who were kind enough to join this week. Librarian Cynthia, Griffin Foxsmith, Tammy Sherman Powers, Nick Scott, Aaron Marlowe, Ron Johnson, Brent Smith, Julianne Jordan, Chris Sanders, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Susan Carlson, Lane LeVanway, Chris James, Jason Weese. I had a name on there twice. It screwed me. Sorry. Ralph Tribble.
I'm like, it's pronounced Jason.
Yeah. Tom Kaminsky, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and Richard Lawson. So there's all of that. We will finally, at long last, turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready.
I do, Tom. And I have this thing dusted at the beginning of the episode, but somehow I have to dust it again.
Yes.
I don't know what happened there. But it's an exciting day at the box office because the movie of the week is number one. And right now we only have estimates, but it's a very big possibility that it could already take away Venom's record for October opening.
Good.
I am so crossing my fingers. I think that's hilarious. Uh-huh. And if it happens, and it's like, because really that movie does not deserve to hold the record. If you had fun with it, whatever, but it's just like, come on.
No.
How did that movie break the record? But this would be fantastic if it does. It's very close right now. So Halloween is estimated to make $80.3 million.
Holy guacamole.
That's on a $10 million budget.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yes, it is.
This
and it's, but it's also like, why? It's not like they haven't made a million of these movies. Like, why is all of a sudden this the one that resonates?
It's Blumhouse taking it on, who has made a name for themselves. And it looks, seriously, when I saw that first trailer, I saw the first trailer, I think, before I watched the first Halloween again.
Yeah.
I think I saw it, and I'm like, whoa, like, this looks legit. Like, yeah. I mean, just from that first trailer, it seemed like they were really taking it seriously. I think they like the idea of getting rid of the 9 or 8 movies in between. Like, it's just, I think, a culmination of everything with the names and the...
Yeah, when you throw, I mean, when you add Carpenter back into the mix as not just a producer, but as
not,
a creative...
Not just we're legally obligated.
Right, as a creative consultant.
Carpenter and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
And then a Blumhouse stamp on it. Like, that...
we'll get into this in the next episode. I didn't realize that this was a Universal thing. This may open the door for Universal to be like, hey, you want to take these monsters too?
Oh, Blumhouse?
Yeah. I mean, that he wants them.
Yeah.
He wants Friday the 13th, does, yeah. And he wants the Universal monsters.
This is the first high-profile movie that Blumhouse has done, and look how it opens.
Oh, sure.
This is
a
property that's already existing.
Oh, sure,
this is the first high-profile that they've taken on. All the other stuff has been original stuff. It's their own.
That's true.
You
maybe
know.
They can make Michael Myers a Universal monster.
They could. Why not?
He's a pretty famous one.
Yeah, he's a big one.
But I mean, I think he's earned it.
I think he has at this
point.
Oh,
I mean, he's just, he's as iconic and prolific. Yeah,
absolutely. It's interesting when you look at, like, you have the traditional monsters, then you have the 80s monsters, and then they kind of go away. Like, you have Ghostface. Like, Ghostface has joined that group.
Yeah.
But there aren't really, you can't name an iconic killer monster from the 2000s.
But
Saw?
Okay. Yeah, Jigsaw is
that's
probably
fair.
Yeah, but it's like
the fact that I could name it.
That's true.
Means it's iconic.
Because
I don't, you know.
Yeah,
but really, the Universal monsters, you know, they had gone away. You know, those were the classic ones. But really, it was like Freddy, Jason,
Michael Myers, Chucky.
Chucky, that's true.
You know, Leatherface.
Well, but that's old. That's kind of older, though. Yeah.
So is Michael Myers.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's true.
Yeah. Michael Myers is 70.
Very late
Halloween
70s.
78.
But then you get, like Scream and Jigsaw. But the ones that have stood the test of time, it's like, wow, like those, they keep doing the Michael Myers, the Freddy, you know, with these reboots and sequels. And
that's the thing, though, is we've talked about how much money they would throw at these movies. Bam.
Blumhouse special.
That's
all
exactly
of these
it.
Movies began as low budget.
Yep.
Fair.
Right.
Yep.
They all work.
You don't need to throw $80 or $100 million a movie like this. It is pointless.
There's no point whatsoever.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before. We say it all the time that it's like, that's the thing with this horror resurgence is you don't need a budget on scary movies. It's atmospheric. Yeah. If you have a good score, someone that can work a camera and good performances, I mean, those things don't cost.
I think sometimes I think it works to the new Halloween's detriment that the picture is as crisp as it is.
I don't disagree.
I like that kind of
little graininess
and
you're not really sure, you know, like the advantage of that.
Well, that's
of that,
a spoiler for the next episode.
Well, like the advantage of the first one is you.
Is that a spoiler? You can watch a trailer and see the pictures.
Yeah,
crisp.
How clear it is.
Oh, I just figured we'd get into
in the original one, when you watch it, it's if you watch it. I mean, I saw it on VHS or, you know, low def, you know, 240 screen resolution or whatever. Like,
just
you're
480?
Not, yeah,
there
sure.
were just 3 pixels.
Right. Three giant
blocks.
Did
you watch yours on a green and black monochrome screen?
I did. My TV was, you know, as a kid was broken, so, like, in the corners was green and red.
Yeah.
You had to move your head back and forth real quick to blend the colors together.
But, like, you knew he was there. But you couldn't see him. You know what I mean? And this one, you know where he is. And we'll get into that as we go forward.
Sounds good. So anyway, $80 plus million on a $10 million budget. Very fascinating how we've talked about Blumhouse, and usually their budget is right around, these days, $5 million is a really decent budget for Blumhouse.
They gave it an extra $5 million.
They gave this movie $10 million. Like, so they take on one of the most iconic horror franchises in history, and they give it a $10 million, which is big for Blumhouse.
Right.
Yeah. Which is crazy because it's only $10 million.
What did they give Paranormal Activity Ghost Dimension? That's the one that's like the big budget that flopped.
Well, those, I mean, yeah, so those movies, you know, they start off, what, the first one at a $10,000 budget and made
something
over $100 million.
Yeah. But that
domestically.
last one they gave a fairly sizable the Ghost Dimension was 10?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
And it made $78 million worldwide.
Never mind. I thought that one was a failure, but
well, it made 18 domestic, but that still made money domestic. On I mean, when you give movies that low of a budget, still it's like it's hard to fail.
It is.
It's when they give them these mid budgets, and so it's like, so you've got the blockbusters that can have $200 million budgets that are sure to make a billion, so it doesn't matter. You give it 10, it's hard not to make that if it's a known property.
Right.
But it's these 50, 60s where you have to make 120 to break even,
right,
where it's like, unless it's a hit or does well, like that's a risk, that budget area, and I think they're starting to get away from those mid budgets. It's either these low budgets or the blockbusters. It's starting to get really like, well, maybe we'll take this to TV to be a series or something instead of spending 60, you know, spread it out over, you know, advertisers will give you revenue or whatnot.
I wonder if Halloween would work as a TV show.
Oh, I don't.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. I don't.
That'd be kind of tough. There's not a whole lot of
it's
plot
kind of
there.
A, yeah, I mean, it's them running from one guy. I like the idea of being, it's one Halloween night.
Right.
And it's over and then it's, you know, whatever. There's always a next one.
Yeah,
but
the sequel comes out.
But yeah, I don't know if I need like weeks passing by as they're like trying to track down.
I was trying to think if you could do it like, you know, like he's coming to Haddonfield. Like that's the.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
he's on tour.
Yeah, right. This is our last stop before we call it a day.
Yeah.
So the groupies broke the bus. And so anyway, yes, great opening weekend
it's
for
a
Halloween.
Kind of poking.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll see where that what happens, and we can follow up next week on whether or not it broke the budget or the record just set
I
by
hope
Venom.
So. I hope so.
We'll see. It's close. Like Venom was just over 80, and right now it's Halloween's estimated at 80.3, so I think it needs like
we should all go see this again tonight.
Right, that's right, it's still Sunday, we could do it.
Yeah,
get out your movie pass whether you're seeing it or not, check in, whatever you gotta do. So we will see what happens, but up
if you
next,
burn a movie pass or an AMC thing and like you don't go, do they still get the money?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean it's
because they're reserving the ticket.
I was curious. I didn't know how that worked.
Marcus just introduced theirs too.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
It's like a Sunday thing.
They've been doing stuff like that.
I think that's the test, though.
Yeah, but they've been doing that.
To see
for,
if it works.
Werenberg did that. I mean,
oh,
people
they?
Have been doing
a first run
monthly
stuff?
Movie. Well,
it's like one. It's like for on a Sunday, you get a first run movie, IMAX, 3D, whatever it is. And
that's true. It is kind of the stepping stone. I remember they've been doing like, you know, go see four movies on a Sunday or whatever to try to drum business for a while. But it is, it's getting closer. I wish they would do it too, because I would,
that's when I would go.
I would cancel AMC and go to Marcus if they had one.
Yeah, I would
much
too.
Rather
yeah.
go to Marcus.
It's because one, they're closer. Two, they show 5 minutes fewer of trailers.
Man, oh man.
23 minutes. That's AMC. I timed it. Once you get through the stupid, it's like, first of all, it's like a 2 minute commercial of a Coke being poured. Like, I get it. You have Coke products.
Right.
I mean, I'm guessing they're paying them millions of bucks to advertise.
And also, like, I'm captive. If I'm going to buy a soda, it's going to be a Coke. What am I going to do about it?
I can't get anything else unless I sneak one in.
It's. I mean, I guess they're trying to like, you know, like, oh, I need to wet my whistle. That looks really appealing. But they seriously, that pre-show, not the pre-show entertainment, the reel before the trailers that goes on and they're like traveling through the galaxies and watching 20 couples sitting in chairs.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we freaking get it. We're at, it's like, is this an advertiser for AMC? I'm here.
Because we're here.
Right.
Like, what are you advertising?
When the first Guardians came out, my dad, we were out on vacation. I was like, I have to go. We were doing the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have to go because
you weren't
movie.
On that
I wasn't.
One.
I know. And my dad goes, when did they start putting commercials in the movies? I go, when's the last time you went to the theater?
Oh, geez.
He, like,
he never saw that pre-show entertainment?
Yeah, we were, I don't know. We were
like Greta Garbo never did that.
We were like South Carolina, and it was just, he's like, this, I don't like it.
But
this
is
stupid.
So I know now if I'm going to an AMC movie that I can show up
20 minutes late.
23.
Yeah.
It's 23. At AMC, it's always 23 minutes. So it's like, I know if I go there, Marcus, it's like 20. It's still
pretty.
Yeah, you
still got
to,
yeah.
Remember when they used to be 50, like 15?
Yeah.
What I like is if you go to the indie theaters, they show like three trailers, 10 minutes.
They do it old school.
You're in.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the way it should be.
Coming in at number two, A Star is Born. So a 33% drop in week three. This is
so we
as
thought we was going
to
happen.
Yeah, as we expected. It has legs. Another $19 million brings it to $126 million domestic. So 50 overseas. It's around 165 worldwide at this moment on a $36 million. Getting lots of good word of mouth. People are still talking. Like on the internet, I just saw a friend, you know, say, oh, I just went to see A Star is Born. Really enjoyed it.
It's
so
good.
It's,
I mean, it deserves. It deserves every single penny it gets.
I agree. I think so too. So we'll see what it does award season. That's what I'm really curious about, what will happen there.
I honestly think it'll be everybody.
I think very well could be.
Bradley Cooper maybe not for best actor. But maybe
he's really, really good.
He's really good.
But like, I liked Gaga, but I think Cooper's performance is even better. But.
And especially when you see the other performances he's given that have been great.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But that,
like, all his David O. Russell movies, it's like he needs an award for those.
Yeah.
And he should have won for Silver Linings. That's the one that.
Or even American Sniper.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I, you know,
it was that damn baby.
Yeah, it's the baby. Yeah. But you get to, you've seen him now enough to be like, that's not just. Like, Lady Gaga is like, was kind of Lady Gaga being Lady Gaga.
Sure,
she did
sure.
it well, but you're like, is she blowing my mind? I don't know. But him, he's done now some very different things.
Yeah.
It's weird.
What was his character in Silver Linings? Was he just like the dude? Not
what
the
do you
dude,
mean?
Not like. But like, was there?
Did he have like?
He was like he was having like a breakdown.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And that's how he was
freaking
her?
Out and running in a garbage bag and.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like some sort of anxiety
and
disorder.
She was kind of weird too. I mean, and they kind of they
started dancing.
They could
together,
relate.
Right?
Yeah, they could relate in there. They both had these, you know, mental instabilities.
Okay.
I don't
okay.
know what you would call it exactly, but
who
they
was
got
he
together.
In American Hustle? Was he the cop? Was he the Fed?
Oh geez, I just can't remember.
Was
I love
he the
that
Fed
movie,
that was
though.
Married to J Law when she put the.
My memory.
Put the thing in the microwave.
It's been a while.
But love that,
but
movie.
I did
can't
enjoy,
remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Right. But, you know, it's funny. I was thinking before I saw A Star is Born, and, like, I've always liked Bradley Cooper for a long time, but I was like, oh, it's cool. Like, you know, he's the comedy guy, and he's doing a serious role. And then I remembered how many roles he's had since he was the comedy guy.
Comedy. Yeah. I don't think he does comedies anymore. When's
probably not, but, I mean, that's what he blew up with. Yeah. But now it's like I'm thinking of him as, like, the comedy guy turned serious, but then I'm going through each movie – like the David O. Russell stuff and the American Sniper.
But Silver Linings Playbook had a lot of humor elements
it
to
did.
It, even
yeah.
though it was a serious
but
movie.
But he was not doing the Hangover jerky.
Right, yeah, no, yeah. he was, yeah.
So it's really interesting to see his trajectory. Like, he's been around for a long time, and he started acting, I think, at a later age. Like, he wasn't a kid actor.
He was
like
on,
a,
he was right. on Alias.
Yeah, but he wasn't a child actor like, you know, Leo and, I don't know, Michael J. Fox, whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, he started a little bit later, but he's been around for a while doing uh-huh. his thing. And yeah, he has some great credits. So, anyway, good to see A Star is Born doing well. We'll see what that does. I'm really curious, again, about the award season stuff. Number three, Venom. This is the one that I am really, seriously, I am really confused about this. $18 million, number three. A Star is Born makes $1 million more than it. I mean, is the Venom audience not the same audience as Halloween? I cannot believe.
Double features, maybe?
Maybe. I cannot believe it made $18 million in week three.
I thought like, Halloween was going to suck
yeah.
all of that audience
but
up.
But despite that, like, Halloween made $80 million despite Venom taking $18
yeah.
million.
Right,
that
right.
is, I mean, if Venom was not around, Halloween could have been $100 million.
Yeah, because I think Halloween probably did better in the older demo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Than a movie
nostalgia.
Like this normally does.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's very true.
Definitely. So it's really interesting because that usually would be like, those are the same demo pretty much. But so you know what? Venom, I mean, congratulations on that.
Did they make Halloween? Is Halloween's rated R?
Yeah, when we get that Venom reboot in 2048.
Oh, God. they'll be like, I loved that first one.
They're, yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe because Venom was PG-13.
No, it's true. There, yeah. I was reading an article earlier about that, too, and it's like, well, you know, they did the PG-13 thing.
Yeah.
They played it safe. And so, yeah, I mean, people that can't get an R ticket can go to Venom.
Or they can buy a ticket for Venom
and
go
see
Halloween.
How many
non-reserve?
Oh, my gosh, you're right. How many non-reserve theaters
yeah
did they buy uh-huh. tickets to Venom and oh buy a ticket to A Star is Born. I guess it's like this kid's buying a ticket, they're like
right.
A
yeah.
Star is Born.
I mean, if you're gonna throw away your money
yeah.
throw away to Star is Born because it's the better movie, but
sure.
also if
we
you're
get it.
If you're a 15-year-old bro,
hi,
play it smart.
Two to A Star is Born
yeah.
please, and wearing their Michael Myers
t-shirt.
Right.
Shows up in the mask. No, no. I want to see Venom, it's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, no, that makes sense. Wow. So, yeah, good for Venom, and I would not doubt that it did get a lot of crossover there. 49% drop in week three, though, brings Venom to $171 million domestic, $236 overseas. We're up over $400 million
jeez.
On a $100 million budget.
I guess we
from
are
getting
that Kraven movie.
Yeah, but from a Spider-Man villain spinoff. Like,
without Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's just so weird. I would have rather seen a Sinister Six movie than just a Venom
how
movie.
How do you do a Sinister Six movie without Spider-Man?
I didn't say, I don't say you ever have to do it without Spider-Man, but just a Venom movie on its, I just, that blows my mind this
yeah,
worked, you know?
Comic books, man.
It's bizarre. So I think they'll definitely green light whatever the
I think
Morbius.
It was, Morbius is going.
Yeah, that's, I mean, after
that's,
this,
yeah.
that's like
a. And then there's a, I thought there was like a Kraven origin movie. And then I think that there was like a Silver and Black, which was going to be Black Cat and Silver Sable.
Man, they're going to try everything they can after this.
I feel
this.
Like Black Cat you could do. Like Black Cat is like on the level of Venom where you could probably get away with. You don't even really need Spider-Man for Black Cat. Yeah. Like she's got her own thing going on. Silver Sables, I'm just like, all right, now you're reaching. Yeah. Like I know that Marvel can do Guardians of the Galaxy and get away with it or Ant-Man. But Silver Sable is a little
That's
bit
Felicia
too.
Felicia Harding, right?
The Black Cat is.
Yeah. She's. That would be interesting. I really feel I'm surprised in this day and age they're not greenlighting more of these female-driven characters. Just with
the
time we're in. I mean, you've got some great villains.
Yeah. Even heroes. I mean,
well, sure, but I just mean if you're gonna do villain things, like you've got these great female villains that could be interesting. I guess that's why they're doing the
you
Sirens.
Could do a Mystique movie. You could do. I'm just saying you could.
Yeah. I'm just kind of burnt out.
I'm not saying you should.
Yeah. That after she was the hero in the last three X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Somehow
after she murdered people in the X-Men, the first one.
Yeah. So anyway, Venom $400 million on a 100. So we'll wait on the word on that sequel, but there's no doubt on it now, if there ever was. Number four, Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween, made $10 million. That's a 37% drop, bringing it to $29 million in week two, 3.7 overseas. So we'll call it about 33 on a $35 million budget. So kind of getting swallowed up, but I mean, it's still Halloween time. We'll see what it does in the next week or two. This is the one that's really surprising and really bad for this movie. First Man is fifth place. With $8.6 million, a 46% drop from a pretty modest box office. So it is at $30 million.
Yikes.
In week two. Like, that's not even, like, let me look up the budget on this one. Yeah, $59 million budget.
And it has
it's at $30 million in week two. That's 10 overseas. So it's 40 worldwide on a 59 in fifth place. Like, that's... What happened there? I mean, I get that you said it was boring, but what happened to people going to the movies? Like, this seems like...
It should have opened bigger.
It seems like this, like, Ryan Gosling, an American story about going to the moon. Like, everyone knows Neil Armstrong. Like, I just can't believe that people didn't turn up for this thing.
I saw nothing. I saw no promo material. I saw nothing.
I will say
this, that,
like, I don't think America likes the space program as much as we like to think we like the space.
I think that's possible.
Right stuff. Same thing happened. It came out. It didn't make any money. And people look back on it as like it's a great movie, and it is a great movie. It didn't make any money.
Do you think they don't care about NASA, or they don't give a shite about, you're welcome, Neil Armstrong?
I mean, I think...
Apollo 13 made money, though.
Yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, it had Tom Hanks.
That's true.
At his peak.
Yeah. That is Tom Hanks at his hankiness.
And it had directed by Ron Howard, who was on a roll.
He was on a roll. That's true.
And it had an all-star cast.
Gary Sinise and
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon.
That's
Ed Harris in that? Ed Harris is like the
Mission Control. Yeah.
That's fair.
Clint Howard.
Oh, well, yeah.
What are you going to do?
Love Affair with Clint Howard was in full swing.
I don't think it's America's love affair.
It's the world's.
I think it's Ron Howard's love affair.
Man, but, what a great brother to have to keep you employed.
I'm telling you,
seriously,
dude.
Like,
when he showed up in Solo, I was like, well done.
I think Clint Howard was a successful working actor before Ron Howard.
He was. Yeah.
He was in Gentle Ben.
Yeah, that's right.
If you say so. But yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, he always pops up in those movies.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Clint Howard couldn't make any extra box office dollars for this one. So we'll see what continues to happen. But
making that Clint Howard money.
Yeah. So about 40 worldwide on a $59 million. So coming in at number six, The Hate U Give, which just received an A+ cinema score. So good for it.
Yeah, I've heard great things.
Yeah, I have too. There's a review on reviewstl.com. Jeremy saw it, said it was good. It's based on a book. Made $8 million in week three. So this was...
They got a massive increase last week.
It was last week, the first wide release. Okay, so second week then, but 361% increase. So that's, maybe it went fully wide this week, because that's a big jump. It's at $11.1 million domestic, and no overseas on that. $23 million budget. So, I mean, it's got a pretty hefty budget.
That's crazy. Bigger budget than Halloween.
I was just about to say, $13 million over Halloween. Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's because the author of the book needs, like, got paid up front or something. I don't know if they roll.
I'm sure the author of the book is getting paid, don't get me wrong, but she's not Stephen King. I don't know that she can necessarily demand that kind of money just yet.
I'm just trying to think, like, what makes it, you know, what makes that heavy up front? I really feel like in today's industry, with the film industry and the way they keep these budgets low, is everyone has back end deals.
Yeah.
It's like, if it does well, you do really well, rather than just taking whatever up front. And so it surprises me to see little movies that seem more art housey, or, you know, not these huge studio movies.
With Halloween, it feels like that is a very contained movie. Like, it doesn't move. It moves around. It looks like it moves around a lot, but I don't think it did move around a lot.
Yeah.
But it still had, I mean, to shoot where, I mean, at this hospital and all these houses, and to have craft services. Like, I just mean, $10 million is nothing. Like, they all have to have back end deals. Like, there's no money there to pay for anything. You got to pay the camera guys. And you know what I mean?
It was just David Gordon Green.
$10 million is nothing. So it's like, you know, the way they're doing it is these back end deals. So it always surprises me, a smaller movie to have a budget like this. It's small, but still bigger than you'd think. So anyway, though, doing very well in its third week there. So we'll see what it continues to do. But yes, go check out the review. Number 7, Smallfoot, still hanging around. So, I mean, talk about
kids movie.
And I guess it's the non-Halloween themed kids movie, you know, because you've got these, the Clock movie, you've got Goosebumps 2, but like Smallfoot is it could be any time of the year. It's just a basic kids movie. A lot of names in that one too. So another $6.8 million is a 25% drop in week 4, $66.5 million for that one, and overseas about $60 million. So we're around 120 on an undisclosed budget.
Talk about weird marketing. When I saw Halloween the second time, they had a trailer for The Grinch in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, that's weird.
Yeah,
that's,
you got to bring your kids.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. So anyway, Smallfoot doing pretty well. So I don't have a budget on that one, but I mean, you know, that seems like one of those that would be around a 60 or so, and it's at like 120. So yeah. Number 8, Night School, still sticking around. $4.9 million is a 37% drop. That's another one, but I guess we talked about it. That's a PG-13, so it's like, if you want to see a more adult comedy movie and the kids, you know, the teenagers can go see it or whatnot. So that's at $66 million domestic, or about $67 million in week 4. $15 million overseas, so a little over 80 on a $29 million. So Kevin Hart, Tiffany Haddish, still making money. Number 9, Bad Times at the El Royale.
Wow.
Bad Times at the Box Office, week 2.
No kidding.
Seriously. $3.3 million is a 54% drop from a very, you know, meek opening. It's at $13.3
million
in spot 9. So
that's a shame. Deserved better.
Swing and a miss, if
but
you say so.
Not much.
Not much.
I mean, I enjoy it, but like, I'm not sitting here like, what a shame this movie is going undiscovered.
I feel bad for Drew Goddard. I mean, I feel like that dude
I've never met him, so.
No, you haven't?
Yeah.
I feel like he's a talented dude, and he can't catch a break.
Yeah. You know, I just, you know, we talked about that poster thing, and I'm like, Hemsworth is in it for such a small amount. Spoiler alert for what it's worth. And like, I'm looking at the poster. I mean, he is front and center on that poster. Like, that was a pretty bad bait and switch. I still hold to that. I'm just looking at the poster, and it's like, he's in the center above the title. Like, hey, I'm here. But I don't know if that kind of turned people off from or what, but it's only made
half. You
think
it'd break people in?
Well, I mean, if they hear that he's not in it, like, but it's about a 16 on a 32 in spot 9. So
What is his highest grossing flick?
Probably any Thor movie, Thor Ragnarok.
No, Drew Goddard. I'm sorry.
Oh, Mike.
I know Hemsworth.
Oh, okay. So Drew Goddard has directed 2 movies, as you know.
I thought there was more.
No, just Cabin in the Woods,
okay.
And this is his second movie. Cabin in the Woods made 42 Lifetime, which I'm surprised that made as much. That really seemed like kind of a cult
domestic
classic. That's what it says. Let me click on it. $42 million domestic, $24 overseas.
That's a good movie.
$66 million. Yeah, I thought it was kind of an undiscovered, you know, when they released it, it was on the shelf, and then Thor came out. So maybe that was the smart move that they made, paid off. But so anyway, that one already is going to end up making more than Bad Times for sure. But we were talking about his career in writing, like Cloverfield, World War Z, The Martian.
Maybe he's a better writer than a director.
I mean, he's got some good, he definitely has some good credits on here. So anyway, we'll see what continues to happen. I mean, as a director, that's hard to say because I think he did a really good job directing a lot of that movie. I mean, his directing skills, I don't
think.
Just
needs to tighten it up.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But like,
definitely bloated.
He's talented. I don't think there's any debate. It's just, I think the final product was not what people were expecting.
No, it wasn't.
And rounding out the top 10 is one that is slowly climbing up the charts here. A little more of an art house film. It's Robert Redford's Swan Song, The Old Man and the Gun. 151% increase. So it's now at 802 locations. It made $2.3 million. For a total of about $4.5 million in its fourth week in release.
Tom, did you see that?
I did not.
Dang.
I saw another art house movie this week, though, that smaller release that I liked a lot, actually.
Yeah?
What's
that? It was called The Oath.
Okay.
And it's written, directed, and starring Ike Barinholtz.
Oh,
your BFF.
Yeah.
And, dude, I love this movie. And it takes place over Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
And the president has issued an edict that people should sign an oath to America.
Oh.
And if you don't, you won't be punished, but there are perks if you do. And then they all start looking sideways at people who
are you going to sign it?
Who refuse.
It?
Yeah. And so Ike Barinholtz plays a guy. He's married to Tiffany Haddish. I think that's who plays his wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And
she's everywhere. Jeez.
Yeah. And now I'm like starting to think
quick, edit that out.
Hey, yeah, you might have edited that out.
I think I saw a trailer for this, though, like just one time. This sounds really familiar now. When Tom told me about this movie, I'm like, I don't know. Where did this come from?
I was right, by the way. Yeah.
Good job.
But and so he's like super liberal and is just like, I'm not signing that. This is BS, you know. And
is then, the president, I mean, is it based in the real world? Or
I mean, it sure
not,
feels it, but
they never say it.
Well, it's not because it's one point they show you the vice president and it's not Pence. So.
Oh, okay. So it's not.
Okay, this is the guy from Blockers.
Yeah, he was also not
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, he was also on the Mindy Project.
Right.
He played a character named
Wasn't
Morgan.
Wasn't he like one of the Mad TV? Or he started off on one of those.
Oh, did he?
He was on one of those.
SCTV hasn't been around in like 40 years.
Probably
but
Mad
yeah.
TV. I just because I didn't watch. I only ever watched SNL, but I know that he was on one of those.
Mad TV had some good peeps on it.
Yeah, I think he's a Mad TV guy.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And so it's Thanksgiving dinner, and it's just, you know, you're going to argue about politics at Thanksgiving, now you got this hanging over your head. And I will say it almost plays like a prequel to The Purge.
I was going
to
say.
But funny, but also very uncomfortable. But I laughed a lot, and it was just like to watch these people fight about this, and you're just like, whoa. Oh,
that sounds really good.
It was really, really good.
Did he write and direct it?
He did, and stars in it. And I was just grinning ear to ear while I was watching this movie because it was so good. I was just like, oh my God.
That's interesting.
And it's getting kind of mixed reviews, and I don't know if because...
Of our climate?
Yeah, I don't know. Because like honestly, I felt it was fairly... apolitical in that everybody kind of goes off the rails and does douchey things at some point.
Sure.
Like, so it's not, you know, I mean, obviously I think the movie would say you shouldn't have to sign this oath, but beyond that, like, I don't feel like it was really like just this hit job on conservatives or the other way around. Like it was pretty even handed in who was taking their shots. But anyway, I really dug it.
Check that out. That sounds good.
I'm always looking for a good Thanksgiving movie. You know, there's a lot of Christmas movies.
Yeah.
And you try thinking, like, what's a good movie to watch around?
Yeah, yeah, there aren't a lot of things. You got Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
That's what you always go to. And
Blood Rage?
I don't think that's the one I'm watching with the fam.
All right, fair enough.
But that's always good. I'm always looking for a new one, so I'll have to check that out.
Midnight Express?
That works.
Yeah. Well, he's coming back from Turkey, right?
It's totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this one. I can't believe we got this
at an hour,
considering how long it took us to actually start the box office report, and I'm only making it worse. So let's go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, do so at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Also, don't forget our Patreon account, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers, where you get all sorts of bonus content.
Couple new subscribers. Thank you.
Yeah,
oh, look at that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
How nice of you.
My dad goes, hey, you guys are on Spotify? Yeah, I did know that. He's like, oh, I just found it.
Now he's impressed.
Yeah.
Finally.
Right, finally, now, after
finally. 420
episodes.
He's like, oh, well, if you're on Spotify, I guess it's a real thing.
I guess you're legit.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
So,
hope you listen to this one, too.
So, anyway, that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle The Oath.
No!
Wow, that would be a good discussion, though. But we will tackle Halloween. So until then, you've been warned.
Get out of here! Get inside!
There's a reason we're supposed to be afraid of this night.
We have to hunt him down. Halloween, Michael.
Halloween, rated R.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.